This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
I'm Liz Hoffman.
I'm Buzz Ulrich.
And I'm Kip Allen.
Today on WLN Digest, human trafficking, a look at a serious problem. It's a lot closer to all of us in the 21st century.
And while we are talking about time, with the 500th anniversary of the Reformation on the horizon, we'll investigate the Wittenberg Project. All coming up on World Lutheran News Digest, after our Fast Track.
Children may not know it, but their fun and learning in 2013 is aimed to benefit those suffering from disaster under an agreement between Concordia Publishing House and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And that fun and learning tool is Vacation Bible School, or VBS. The mission offerings collected through the new Concordia Publishing House Vacation Bible School program for 2013, Tell It on the Mountain, Where Jesus Christ is Lord, will benefit a special fund of the LCMS that aims to help those suffering from a disaster. The ministry beneficiary of this year's VBS offerings is the LCMS Ready Now Disaster Response Fund, which enables a quick response to those suffering in the wake of a disaster. Ready Now funds are used to provide food, water, and survival and shelter kits to those whose lives have been turned upside down. The Ready Now Disaster Response Fund is designed to function as a bridge between the disaster event itself and the availability of long-term financial assistance that follows as households and congregations respond in Christian love to a specific disaster event. You can find out more about the Tell It on the Mountain VBS Starter Kit through a link on our website, kfuo.org.
In the United States of America this week, children are celebrating their Lutheran education and heritage during National Lutheran Schools Week. All across the U.S., different ways of encouraging Lutheran school students to show their learning skills in a fun or unique way takes place. Schools allow the kids a Dress Like Your Favorite Bible Character Day or Hat Day, or even an excursion to give the children a day of fun, as well as allow the public to see how well the school groups function. In the St. Louis metropolitan area in the middle of America, Lutheran schools have been showcasing their talent at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through singing during the daily chapel service. The children from Emmanuel Lutheran School in Oakville, Illinois, performed two songs during chapel worship on Tuesday morning. One of the school students is Morgan Campworth. She enjoyed singing for the service as part of National Schools Week.
My favorite song would probably be the first song we sang, The Lord is My Shepherd.
Mallory Unverfurt is an eighth grader and shared her feelings about having a Lutheran education. What, for instance, makes it fun?
We're kind of like a big family. Everyone knows everyone and we're all friends and we all like each other. We have a lot of fun at class and we learn a lot. Math, science, social studies, our science fair.
What are some of the highlights for 8th graders at Emmanuel Lutheran School in Oakville, Illinois?
That we get to have confirmation almost every day of the week and get to learn about God.
From what you've learned, Mallory, do you have some favorite biblical teachings?
I like learning about different stories in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament.
Those two students are just a part of a larger group in the metropolitan St. Louis area and Southern Illinois called the Lutheran Elementary School Association. Deb Schmeek is the Director of Educational Resources and says their organization is always working to ensure the proclamation of the gospel within the classrooms at Lutheran schools.
We also are affiliated with our four area Lutheran high schools and four related agencies. We work together to make our resources go further and also to provide a high-quality education system for the children in the area and have them be in a faith-based setting for their school life.
Like every school kid, the end of your time arrives at one school and you move on to the next. WLN Digest asked Mallory Unverfurt about whether or not she would visit after her 8th grade graduation.
I'm going to come back and visit all of our teachers and the students because we have a great faculty.
That is one thing that Lutheran educators, parents, students, and the pastors whose congregations sponsor the schools in the United States like to hear.
Have you ever wondered about the Lutheran hymns you sing? Where did the newer hymns come from? Who writes the lyrics, and how do they become not just a part of the songs praising our Lord, but texts with proper theological distinctions and meaning that become published in hymnals and sung in our Lutheran congregations? Some of these questions were addressed at a hymn writers' conference in the United States this week called the Sung Confession, Lutheran Hymn Writing in the 21st Century. Reverend Will Whedon is the director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Psalm 145 tells us that one generation shall declare your wondrous works to the next. And how does that happen? It happens as one generation of writers of hymns writes their praises of the Lord down, and the next generation sings them. And you stop and think about how tragic it would be if we decided only to sing the songs written right now and not to listen to the voice of our fathers proclaiming the faith to us and realizing that we're called to join in that as we share and pass that on. So to further that, we invited anybody that wrote hymns that wanted to write them and send them in to submit them to us. And we had almost 200 applicants and their hymns. Each one was invited to submit three hymns.
From there, the submitted texts were reviewed by a panel who collectively rated them.
We took the top 30, basically 30-some hymn writers for the retreat, and then the presenters and one or two guests.
Will Whedon says the group gathered in the middle of the United States in Columbia, Illinois, for reflection and prayer.
In the framework of the church's daily prayers, we sang hymns and psalms, psalms, of course, being the first prayer book of the church and her hymn book. So we gather for matins, for a noonday prayer, the responsive prayers, and the compline at the end of the day. And then we heard presentations on hymn writing from a number of perspectives.
Among the topics was what works and what doesn't, lessons from the hymnal, the nuts and bolts of hymn construction, one perspective on the craft of writing a hymn text, and lyric poetry. One hymn writing session taught the art and the science of translation.
If you're translating, know the original, know the Luther Bible, know the confessions in the original so you don't miss the allusions in the hymn, and then to bring them into English.
Part of the Hymn Writers Conference was a presentation of the submitted compositions.
There were a number of new hymns presented for a variety of occasions in the church. You know, everybody had their own hymns there to hand out, which they did, but the fun part came. On Monday night, we had a hymn sing. So we sang some really great, great pieces by these new writers. They covered the entire spectrum. A number of them wrote pieces for church readings that we have that don't have a lot of particular hymnody associated with a given text.
Pastor Whedon says there was an overriding message that these hymn writers were able to take from the conference.
In Lutheran hymnody, it is the text that is king. The words matter.
Presenters included Reverend Stephen Starkey, a current hymn writer with many songs published in the Lutheran Service Book and other hymnals.
The Lutheran faith can now be read and sung by people in Kenya with a new hymnal in their very own Swahili language. It's been called an incredible labor of love by the Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, USA. After only 4 years of working on the project, 20,000 copies of the Abata Takatafu, or Divine Service, is currently being distributed to the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya. Dr. Timothy Quill is the Dean of International Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. He talks about the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya began in 1958. European, Swedish Lutherans and some other Lutheran missionaries brought the gospel. The church now has over 100,000 members, 150 pastors, they have evangelists, deaconesses, school teachers. They have a wonderful seminary in Matongo, evangelist schools.
With this type of growth, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya was in need of a hymnal.
Well, they had all of these institutions, but they never had their own ELCK, Evangelical Lutheran Church of Kenya, hymn book. So Archbishop Walter Obari approached the seminary and asked if we could help them develop a book in Swahili, because the people there, some of them were using the Anglican hymn books, a few in English, like in Nairobi, some used the Tanzanian Swahili hymn book, some worship like Pentecostals, some worship with no liturgy or hymn book. And so if you go into a Lutheran church there, you never knew what you were getting.
The newly published hymnal was recently presented to Reverend Tom Amolo, the chairman of the Hymnal Commission and a pastor in Kenya. Along with Dr. Quill's work, Paul Grimm, Deaconess Sandra Rhine, cantor Richard Resch, and others played a vital role in the project. And what material is included in the hymnal?
You have a divine service. It has the catechism and their funeral service, morning and evening prayer, and psalms, and so forth.
These hymnals will now be distributed throughout Kenya.
The book just came off the press about 2 weeks ago, and it's being shipped to Mombasa on the coast and then to Nairobi. And we will be carrying over some boxes. They'll have a dedication of the hymn book at the Cathedral Church in Nairobi. And from then, we'll go out from there, and there'll be introductory workshops to teach the people how to use the hymn book all over Kenya.
The new Kenyan hymnal will be dedicated in an upcoming service at the Lutheran Cathedral in Nairobi. Donations to aid in shipping the hymnals can be sent to the Concordia Theological Seminary Kenyan Hymnal Project.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. Ndowekbele tihihi wilongasi Lutheran Faihawa.
If you've been looking for an excuse to take a trip to Germany, you may just have a good one. There's a very exciting project in the works. It's called the Wittenberg Project. WLN's Liz Hoffman reports.
It's an opportunity to share the gospel that Luther rediscovered in the 16th century, a gospel that our world desperately needs to hear. Reverend Michael Kumm is the chairman of the board of directors for the International Lutheran Society of Wittenberg. He explains the idea behind the Wittenberg Project.
The Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod purchased this old Latin school where Luther used to teach, which is just merely steps outside the front door of the city church, the Stadtkirche in Wittenberg. It's in a wonderful location. The building itself is in pretty good shape, but the interior needs a tremendous amount of renovation. So the Central Illinois District purchased the building, and through a cooperative effort of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Concordia Publishing House, the Independent Lutheran Church of Germany, and the LCMS, we have started a project to raise the money to renovate that building and turn it into a combination education and visitor center for confessional Lutheranism in Germany.
The restored structure will host a variety of activities that will include educational and cultural programs, short-term guest housing for visitors, scholars, and students, areas of research, writing, dining, fellowship, and a welcome center. Wittenberg Project Coordinator and LCMS Career Missionary Reverend David Mossman says there are even higher hopes for this project.
Number one is we want to reach people locally, that is, in Germany with the gospel. Even though this is the place where the Reformation began, today only about 15 to 18% of the people who live in that area even profess to be Christian at all. And so we want to help bring the gospel back, and we can do that through the life and theology of Martin Luther, because they are interested in Luther as a historic figure important for the German nation. And we can leverage that to share the gospel and tell them what Luther was really about. Secondly, we want to use this place to help Lutherans worldwide and other Christians to understand more about their faith and to strengthen their faith, both for their Christian witness and for their own growth in faith.
As with any major project, comes the question of the price tag and where will the money come from. Reverend Mossman says the committee is on the right track for raising the necessary funds.
Well, we estimate that the project's going to cost somewhere in the vicinity of $3.2 to $3.4 million to renovate the building and get the programs up and running, furnish the building as well. We are currently talking to donors about major gifts. We've got over $1 million raised already toward this. And so we're well on our way to getting this project funded.
The committee is very close to launching the construction phase of the Wittenberg Project.
We're hopeful of starting construction next winter, perhaps as early as October 31st of this year, but certainly by this time next year, we want construction to start. The Wittenberg board just finished meeting, and among other things, they approved a cash flow plan that shows that right now we will spend the money to get the detailed designing documents done, We already have a design for the building and a floor layout, but this is the very detailed construction documents. And then bid specifications will be developed by the architect so that we can bid the project to contractors to do the work. And then we'll be able to immediately pull the trigger and get construction started as soon as we know that we've got the financing available.
The board held an important meeting during the third week of January at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis.
This meeting, the board approved the cash flow, which provides for payment of the construction project in order to finish and open by May 1st, 2015. The board approved a business plan that we could share with lenders and that we can share with potential donors. The board approved a management agreement with another corporation in Wittenberg to do the reservation management, the housekeeping, that sort of thing in our building, because we will have sleeping rooms in the building as well as classroom and chapel facilities, that sort of thing. And we also heard a report from Dr. Jack Preuss, who's the chairman of our education committee, on progress on developing the educational program that will be operated out of that building. So we did a lot at this meeting. This is our first face-to-face meeting in more than a year, but it was very valuable because an awful lot got done that we just can't do talking on the internet.
Reverend Combs says you can be a part of the Wittenberg project in Germany.
Our business plan is done. We're talking with donors and we're getting commitments to this point, but we need donors, from the smallest donations to the largest. We have naming rights to the chapel or the meeting rooms or the building, or you can buy a window or get a room named after you or something like that.
To learn more about contributing to Lutheran history in the making, click on the Wittenberg link on our website, kfuo.org.
You can check out the diagrams for the building. You see some pictures of the building and a little information about the project. If you have any questions, there's a place that will give you contact information to give us a holler.
WLN Digest will have continual coverage of the Wittenberg Project.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
A future pro-life president?
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
With the 2012 presidential election behind us, some pundits have already started talking about 2016. One name frequently mentioned in such conversations is Marco Rubio, senator from Florida. In fact, at Politico's recent Playbook Breakfast, Senator Rubio was informed by a reporter that as a presidential contender, he would be asked hard questions. So he was asked, "When does life begin?" We're glad to report Senator Rubio immediately responded, "At conception," and then went on to describe this as an indisputable scientific fact which more people in Washington, D.C. should recognize.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടി ആകുന്നു. യാ വിശ്വ ലൂത്രൻ സമാചാർ ഹെ.
It's a worldwide phenomenon that far too many people aren't aware exists. It's called human trafficking, and it's the illegal trade of human beings mainly for the purposes of commercial sexual exploitation or forced labor. Through force or by deception, often women and children are taken from their country so they can be exploited. Without passports in a foreign country, they find they have nowhere to turn. Their owners threaten them with violence, starvation, and even murder to maintain their power over them. The Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service, or LIRS, provides some staggering statistics on human trafficking.
16.4 million people are trafficked for labor exploitation, and a further 4.5 million are victims of sex trafficking worldwide. A conservative estimate is that every year between 14,500 and 17,500 people, mostly women and girls, are trafficked into our communities. Victims of trafficking live in fear, in the shadows, enslaved by horrific treatment, trauma, and abuse. It's estimated that the global profit from the exploitation of all trafficked children and adults is a staggering $32 billion per year.
Bart Day is the executive director for the Office of National Missions, as well as a board of directors member for Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services.
There's lots of different types of trafficking, some adults, some children, I think more so with children, used people in poverty, selling their children, using their children for sort of basic financial gain. Certainly others are being kidnapped and trafficked in sex trade rings and things like this.
Immigrants are vulnerable to the traffickers in many different ways.
Typically language issues, cultural issues, financial issues. They are prime to oftentimes step into situations of human trafficking without really understanding what they're getting themselves into. And by the time they do, it's oftentimes too late for them to be able to escape from those circumstances.
Backed by Scripture, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod takes a strong stand against human trafficking.
The trafficking of human beings is sinful in God's sight. It is a desecration of His creation and individuals who He has made in His image. And so the LCMS stands against human trafficking as it stands against other things that destroy and diminish human life and an individual's ability to give praise to God in all things.
Tara Mulder is the Director for Marketing and Communications at Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. Thanks to this organization, the countless number of people who are victims of human trafficking do have hope. Hope for a brighter future that they control themselves, and most of all, hope that future generations won't be violated of their human rights.
LIRS is an organization that's been helping migrants and refugees for almost 75 years. We welcome refugees who have fled persecution, war, and terror. We help them build new lives in the United States. Our work with refugees involves a network of service partners across the country, most of which are Lutheran social ministries. We also have special programs that help migrants who are impacted by detention. So they are often refugees for all intents and purposes, but come to the United States seeking protection directly and may end up in the U.S. immigration detention system. So we have legal and other helps for those people. One of our largest areas of work is actually with children, unaccompanied refugee children, and children who arrive in the U.S. alone. We help reunite them with family members or other responsible adults, or refer them to foster care.
Bart Day stresses that everyone can help in the fight against this horrific crime, whether it be as an individual or within their congregation.
They can contact our office, certainly. They can talk with their district offices and also with LIRS directly. We are always looking for congregations to be intimately involved in the resettling of people in the United States. LIRS brings those people in with a lot of federal dollars and is able to provide services. But really, the long-term acclimation, helping them put down roots and learn the culture and learn the language. These are wonderful opportunities for congregations to share real Christ-like welcome and the gospel with people who are truly hungry and looking for those things.
Tara Mulder adds there are resources available about human trafficking from a biblical perspective.
With the LCMS, LIRS has created some educational materials, including a Bible study that helps groups or individuals think about trafficking from the biblical perspective and think about things they could do to make a difference, make a sort of personal resolution, just as the LCMS has made a convention resolution to combat human trafficking.
To learn more about LIRS and how you can help in ending this violation of human rights, log on to KFUO.org, where you'll find a link to the LIRS website.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂതറൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
The Fitch Ratings, a financial ratings organization, has affirmed the ratings of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans and its subsidiary, Thrivent Life Insurance Company, collectively referred to as Thrivent. The affirmed ratings include Thrivent's AA Insurer Financial Strength, or IFS, and its AA- Long-Term Issuer Default Rating, or IDR. Fitch says Thrivent's rating outlook is stable. Fitch's ratings of Thrivent Financial reflect the organization's strong capitalization with very low use of financial leverage, high-quality investment portfolio, consistent profitability, and favorable market franchise within the Lutheran market. In addition, Thriven has a conservative liability profile with limited exposure to variable annuities with living benefit guarantees. The stable outlook is driven by Thriven Financial's strong capital base and Fitch's expectations of continued sustainable, solid operating performance supported by conservative investment and product offerings. Fitch believes that the pressure on profitability and capital, driven by an extended low interest rate scenario and future investment losses, is manageable in the context of the company's capital position and liability profile. Fitch views Thriven Financial's capitalization as very strong and of high quality. They say profitability is viewed as consistent and good through 2012, as exhibited in an operating return on capital of 9.4% through the first 9 months of 2012. Fitch Ratings also believes that Thriven Financial is strongly positioned within the Lutheran market, but that the company's narrow focus presents challenges for long-term growth opportunities. But Fitch also notes that Thriven membership will complete its April 30, 2013 vote on extending its common bond to include other Christians, which could lead to more members and scale-related advantages if it is well executed.
This is World Lutheran News Digest.
And now, a laugh for Lutherans. A woman had been teaching her 3-year-old daughter the Lord's Prayer. For several evenings at bedtime, she would repeat after the mother the lines from the prayer. Finally, she decided to go solo. The mother listened with pride as she carefully enunciated each word right up to the end of the prayer. "Lead us not into temptation," she prayed, "but deliver us some email. Amen."
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at KFUO.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, write to WLN Digest, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105, or email news@KFUO.org.